Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
I'm Dylan Baxter. I'm CEO, co-founder of Plant Switch. We are now living in North Carolina, just opened a manufacturing facility here, and we're making biodegradable and compostable alternatives to single-use plastics.
Awesome. So how did you guys get the idea for Plant Switch?
Well, I originally, kind of a health nut and was in the finance world, got tasked with researching the bioplastic industry. And as I researched it, I realized the plastic crisis, microplastics, getting into our food and our water supply, causing all sorts of diseases, starting to be linked to cancers and heart disease, inflammation, all these things. And it just became pretty obvious that this was a really bad issue that needed to be solved immediately. And then as I looked at, the rest of the industry, it seemed like there weren't really great solutions out there. Everything missed the mark on either cost, quality, or scalability. And so that's kind of the genesis of, why I cared about the problem and why I wanted to solve it. And then, we took a first principles approach and wanted to create a technology that did solve those three core tenets, cost, quality, and scalability.
For sure. So who would you say as of right now is an ideal customer for you?
Ideal customer for us is typically in the food service industry. That's where, most single-use plastic is right now. We've started in the food service industry with products like, forks, knives, spoons, straws, et cetera, and, working with major brands and companies in that area. So that's really our target. We've also begun working with some other really cool industries, agricultural, CPG, cosmetics, but food service is definitely where I think, the first adopters of this are going to be.
So what percent of your company is B2B versus direct to consumer?
100% B2B.
Okay, awesome. So in terms of like selling your products to people, how do you convince people that their current way of doing things is that big of a problem that they have to make the switch to Plant Switch?
Yeah, I think most companies are aware at this point of, the amount, the plastic waste problem and, what they need to do to help that. Legislation has been pretty significantly moving in the direction of banning single-use plastics. So any large food service company is aware of that and trying to find alternatives at the moment. For us, we understand that if they're going to make a more sustainable choice, it's not easy. It's very difficult to find technologies or products that do work well, that aren't crazy expensive and are scalable solutions. And so that's, again, what's guided everything that we've done from a development standpoint. And we've found that that's resonated really well with the customer. They don't want to pay a ton more. They want something that works like the consumers used to, and they need to be able to buy a lot of it at scale. So
for sure. So I guess like as of now, right, getting to where you are at, like, how have you been able to get in front of people? Has it been like PR, marketing, cold email? Like, what has worked for you so far?
All the above. And then I think, being intentional about connections and leveraging those of people within the food service industry. It's maybe a smaller industry than people realize, even though it's, this multi-billion dollar, industry. So, the people that operate within it all kind of know each other to a certain extent. And so we've been pretty intentional about getting in front of those people, facilitating intros, et cetera, and that's typically, the highest ROI introduction is a warm introduction. So we've tried to do that, but everything else too, conferences, marketing, events, cold email, everything and anything.
For sure. So I guess like, what's the breakdown, right? Because you mentioned that there's different industries, food service, ag, you have CPG. So is it like 90% food service, or I guess like, what does that look like?
All of our customers today are food service. We're under development in other industries, but we haven't gone to market on anything there yet.
For sure. So I guess in terms of your food service customers, is it mostly small, like mom and pop shops, or is it also like large chains? Like what is, I guess, an ideal profile of, your food service customers right now?
We started with mom and pops, and then, scaled to working with distributors. And then now we're, working with some really large food service chains. And so, that's obviously just part of kind of growing as a startup is, you know, you build capacity and then you get bigger customers and things start growing at a compounding rate, I suppose.
For sure. So I guess, like, obviously, I mean, some states have certain regulations. I'm in Texas and, you know, and we don't have that here. So I guess, like, how do you convince, you know, organizations and states where they don't have those laws to make the change, you know, and move away from what they're doing today?
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. We started the business in Dallas. You know, myself and my co-founder, both SMU grads, and we started the business right before COVID. And so that was not great timing. But then once things started to open back up, you know, Dallas was the first place to open back up. We never thought that we were going to focus on Texas as a market, really. You know, we were going to go to California, the Northeast, you know, et cetera, like by the ocean where people are more, you know, concerned, we thought. But the reception was pretty great in Dallas. People, you know, understood that, you know, the customer doesn't want to see the plastic straw anymore. The big thing is that just everyone hated paper straws, right? Everyone wanted an alternative that worked. And that was pretty illuminating of, you know, okay, people actually really do care about this issue. The problem isn't that. The problem is that there just aren't good alternatives. And so that's where, you know, that kind of big, you know, light bulb moment and, you know, everything that we've done since then has really come from.
For sure. So I guess, like, what about the cost savings? Is that also something that comes into play when somebody buys from you as opposed to what they're buying right now?
Yeah. So if they're working with an alternative to plastic, we're almost always a cost saving. You know, we're a lot more cost competitive than pretty much every alternative out there. And so that's also, you know, an easy selling point. But our goal is to get to the same price as traditional plastic. And we think we're going to get there, you know, in the not too distant future.
For sure. So to get to that price point, is it more like scaling up your resources and manufacturing, or I guess, like, what does that look like for the business?
Yeah, it's twofold. It's obviously scaling up comes with economies of scale. And then there's also development of technology, just, you know, finding ways to make things more efficient, cheaper, use different raw materials, et cetera, et cetera.
What would you say is, like, the biggest challenge that you guys face today?
I think, you know, scaling up is not easy. It was also, you know, raising capital to do that wasn't easy. We're not a software company. We're a infrastructure heavy plastics manufacturer, you know, bioplastics. That's maybe not the most, it's not as exciting, I suppose, as like a, you know, AI company, but, you know, I think we're making a product that makes a pretty big difference in the world. And we have a technology that really can scale and create something very, very large. It's just going to take, you know, a good amount of capital to get there. So finding the right investment partners was difficult. I believe we have that now, which is exciting. And just kind of the everyday struggles of building, launching a manufacturing facility and continuing to add capacity to that. It's no small task.
So do you guys, like, have the demand, right? So if you were to scale up and add capacity, could you sell more product, or is it more of, like, finding that mix of, you know, signing more contracts, then scaling up afterwards? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, the way that we kind of view the market is with our price point and with our quality, we kind of sell everything that we make. And so now it's just building more capacity so we can keep selling more. And it just takes time. You know, we can't just go get a new piece of equipment and have it turned on tomorrow. There's a lot that goes into it. So we're in a great position given that our demand is higher than our ability to supply. And so now the onus is on us to go supply more.
For sure. So in terms of selling your products, are you focused more on North America or also maybe selling them across the globe? Because there's a concern, obviously, for these products, and I would say probably demand in Europe and South America. I guess, like, what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, we plan to sell all over the world. We're already in some, probably ending, nearing the end of discussions with some big companies in Europe. So that's exciting for us. You know, we've even discussed having manufacturing capabilities in South America and Asia. You know, the goal was, again, to build a really scalable model in technology. And we feel that we've done that now. And this is where some big strategic decisions come into play, is where do we go next? But yeah, this is something that we can use across the world. We can do across the world. Agricultural waste streams are everywhere, even maybe more so in other parts of the world than America. So there's no real limit on what we can do and where we can go.
For sure. So in terms of the business right now, like, I know that many companies in manufacturing struggle sometimes with staffing issues. So is that something that, you know, you guys struggle with? Or like, how do you find good people to run the plant, you know, at your manufacturing facility?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we've gotten lucky or what it's been, but the people that we've, you know, had join the team are phenomenal. I feel like we've got, you know, A players at every position. So, I think that's the most important thing you can do when building a company is finding those A players. And, you know, I attribute it to, you know, there's some luck involved, and then there's also the fact that we have a pretty compelling mission. You know, we want to replace all single-use plastics with plants. It's a big, lofty goal, but it's achievable, and it's something that really excites people that have been in this, you know, polymer industry for a while that, you know, want to go do something that's, you know, makes them feel a little bit better about, you know, their impact on the world. So, I think it's just, you know, being intentional about finding those great people and, convincing them that, you know, this is a cause worth pursuing. But, we've gratefully been able to do that pretty well so far. Love the team that we have.
That's awesome. So obviously now in 2024, many companies are looking for the best use case for things like AI. So do you guys use AI in your business? And if not, like where could AI maybe like come in and play a role this year?
Yeah, that's something we've definitely been thinking about, and you know, have plans to incorporate that for, you know, increased manufacturing efficiencies. There's also some things we can do of like, you know, simulations of technology development. So yeah, we definitely plan to incorporate that. Right now, it's been pretty focused on getting more machines and turning them on. So once we turn on a bunch of machines, then we can start looking to AI on how we can, you know, make it more efficient.
For sure. So besides getting more machines turned on and AI, like what would you say are some of your other like top priorities in 2024?
Yeah, growth, you know, growth, team building to support that growth, continuing to bring on A players and developing, you know, the future of plastic technology. So there's, you know, we kind of have our basic platform that we've developed that is market ready, and we're, you know, getting that out there at the moment, and that's exciting. But, you know, we want to stay 5 to 10 years ahead of everything. And so we're, you know, we've got people that are just focused on the future, and that's always going to be the way that we operate.
For sure. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
I think that, you know, focusing more on finding A players would be something that I would maybe do differently. You know, when I started, a lot of it was just trying to do everything myself, you know, which is because we bootstrapped for a while. But then I think if I had to, you know, do it again or whatnot, I would be more intentional about like the hiring process and like really trying to find those A players, because now that we have a pretty deep roster of them, it's just makes my life so much more fun getting to go to work with them every day. And I think I just had a little bit too much of a mindset of wanting to do everything myself at the beginning. So I would have focused on that earlier and, you know, better if I could do it again.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Yeah, I think you know, we'll be close to capacity at this current facility that we have. We'll be underway on a new facility that's likely much bigger. The team's probably at least double the size at that point, and you'll be seeing PlantSwitch technology in pretty much everything you do on a daily basis. You know, whether that's eating food or you know, using products for in your bathroom or your kitchen, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where I see the company being in really just a year. We're really close to that already.
Awesome. And we're rooting for you guys. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website, social media, I guess best ways to get in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is just plantswitch.com. My LinkedIn is just, you know, my name, Dylan Baxter. I like to post a lot of, you know, updates on PlantSwitch progress and scary statistics on microplastics on there. So shoot me a follow if interested. And then yeah, that's probably the best way to keep up with our progress.
Awesome. All right. Well, Dylan, thank you so much for your time today.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks. All right. Bye.